I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeartRadio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. Brought to you by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company, The Junks. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team. It's Bish, EB, and JP. Cakes will be back on Monday, I believe. Then Bish heads to North Carolina.
Si, senor.
Which part?
Oak Island. It's 35, 40 minutes south of Wilmington.
I like that area.
Never heard of it, but
good.
Guessing it's nice.
Good. I don't want it to be popular.
Guessing there are a lot of oak trees.
I don't know. I'm not sure why they called Oak Island. But
all right, real quick, before we get to EP, we can bang out a couple more calls if we want to. We were talking about sort of the preseason work, what you're looking for, what do you think they need. Let's go to Toothpick, whoever Toothpick is. Hey, Toothpick.
Hey, what's good, EB? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, listen, my question with the Commanders having their offensive struggles this year, what are we really going to learn by them playing against the Cincinnati Bengals, and their defense from last year was putrid, and it wasn't their offense that stopped them from making the playoffs, but it was their defense. Hey, I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys' answer. Thank you. I love the show. Bish, you're my guy.
All right, Toothpick. There you go. Why do they call him Toothpick again?
I'm guessing he stuffs a toothpick in his mouth.
He always has a toothpick in his mouth?
Skip leg day. I skip leg day.
Oh, okay. He's a toothpick.
Ah.
He's a
very
butt,
skinny.
He's a butt skinny guy.
Or at least skinny legs.
Skinny legs.
What are you going to learn? I mean, not going to learn anything.
Anytime you play another team, even if that team doesn't have great defensive attributes from the year before, it doesn't mean you can't learn something. I don't know. Like I said, I sound like a broken record. I've been convinced that they can really glean a lot from these joint practices, which maybe makes some of these preseason games less pertinent.
I think it all counts.
I mean, how much did Jaden play last year?
Not much. I think three series.
Yeah. He played three series.
Was that in the first game?
No, he played in the first two games.
Oh, okay.
He had one series, obviously, in one, and two in the other.
Well, I think it was the first game against the Jets, and whatever
that was.
He threw
the long pass.
He threw a touchdown. I was like, I've seen enough. We got the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess he had two more after that.
I think the first preseason game, he had that long bomb, but they didn't score. In the second preseason game, he scored. I think he had a touchdown pass and maybe scored with his legs as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood entertainment. You got the music for me, Valdez? Of course, it's driven by BMW Fairfax, DC's only BMW Center of Excellence Award winner for the ultimate buying experience on your ultimate driving machine. Get over to BMW Fairfax. Ask for Miriam. She's a general manager. Of course, you can check out their entire selection of certified pre-owned and brand new vehicles right on the website, BMWFairfax.com. When you get there, make sure you mention me. They're going to treat you like a rock star regardless. You will be thrilled. I promise.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I don't know where to lead off here. I guess that some people are kind of finding out now about what they're going to be doing on Inside the NBA on ESPN. Of course, you know, a lot of people kind of wondering, like, people love, you know, sometimes it's too much for me, but they love the Shaq, the Barkley. And
now it's going to be Jordan, right?
Well, they're
adding
that's
a different
Jordan.
What is Jordan going to be on?
I don't think he's going to be with those guys.
That's
NBC.
They go to NBC.
Oh, that's
yeah,
when they're
NBC.
Okay.
But it's just different because it's going to be ESPN now, not TNT. We all know ESPN is a lot more structured, at least they try to be. They're a lot more rigid. We could tell you stories about our dalliances with ESPN through the years. So I think they're concerned, Valdez, you can help me with this. So when they would do, and JP knows, when they would do their TNT thing, sometimes it was kind of free-flowing. It could go 40, 50 minutes, you know, whatever. This one looks like it's going to be much more structured, Maybe it's going to be around 30 minutes, and it's not going to be as often, right?
It's less often, and the 30 minutes is pretty short for those guys. That's the one thing I'll say. When I would watch whatever sort of pregame and postgame show they did on ESPN, there was one version. I think Bill Simmons was part of it. I mean, they switched. Bob Myers, who's involved with the Commanders, was part of it most recently with Kendrick Perkins. But there was one or two years where it's halftime, they come back, and they go, all right, it's halftime show. We'll be right back. I mean, they would, and they basically wouldn't talk. Mm. And so I think the fear is that these guys are going to be on the air less free-flowing. There's going to be more time restrictions.
Totally.
Because they got to put in all these commercials, whereas TNT, you know, they would have long-form segments.
Not, and also not to mention, I think SportsCenter takes precedent over it. So the time restriction could be a whole lot less depending on how long the game goes.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of fans of Inside the NBA, they talk about how after the game, it's midnight, 1 o'clock. They're all like loosey-goosey, a little punch drunk.
Yeah, and it gets a little risque.
Yeah, and it gets funny. That's where all the moments happen.
Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden,
you're trying to
have these certain restrictions on the show. You have a time frame for the show. And then a lot of these natural moments that happen between Charles and Shaq aren't really going to happen anymore.
You almost get the sense, just from, again, knowing nothing other than like what Valdez says, reading about it, you almost get the sense ESPN doesn't even want to deal with these guys, but they're gonna wedge it, where they're going to cornhole them in here or whatever for a little while. They're going to minimize them, and then they're going to go away.
It's possible.
That seems like the plan.
The one thing which I would say is a positive is I believe they've kept the staff intact.
For now.
That basically ESPN, it's almost like a lease, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they were doing their show. It happened to be on TNT, and now they're paying money so that they can put it on
ESPN.
But
you can tell, like, Charles has already been very reticent about it, very open, saying, like, I don't like what I'm hearing. It's like, you know, I'm not going to change for anybody. So this could be a short-lived marriage.
I heard one of his interviews, and he said they did a pilot for it.
Yeah.
And they said it was one of the worst pilots they've ever done.
No. He did a pilot for a different show.
They were
experimenting with a different type of show, not for ESPN. I think it would actually be with TNT.
Mm-hmm. Well, we did a pilot.
Because the show that they were experimenting with apparently can't run highlights if it's on TNT. So like ESPN, they can run the highlights and comment on the games, but if they do in TNT, and he said that they were talking about maybe doing different sports and different things like that, it was terrible.
We've told this story a zillion times. I'll try to condense it and maybe give an angle I hadn't given before. When we had our downs with ESPN in the past, serious downs, agent talking to them, did a pilot, flew up to New York and everything. A real downs, offer made. We asked for double. Gall goes away, but whatever. Part of the reason that I know I was not as appealed by it was first of all, they brought us in and we had to do like a quiz. Can you imagine doing that now?
Quiz
us and they say, Conference USA. They're starting three quarterbacks that start in Conference USA. They're so high and mighty on themselves.
Sports geeky.
Yeah, so sports geeky. So that was a turnoff for me because I had to really study that, like fake my way through that. I feel like I did. It's fine. But I didn't like that, right? So that's very annoying. And then for this stupid pilot that we did, we had to be on the phone and we had to be like, okay, now you say this so they can run the B-roll. And then make sure you mention Lou Brock. Are you going to mention Lou Brock in your answer here?
They told us what to say.
And I was like, for hours we're on the phone for this nothing. And I'm sitting there going, F this. You can't pay me enough to do this, right? I can only imagine, and I was a punk 30-year-old kid, right, in radio. Barclays
like
made $100 million, $200 million, $1 billion. You think he's going to deal with that crap? No way. Not happening.
Plus, that's not the essence of Inside the NBA, especially.
That's not the essence of our show either.
Yeah.
Exact same thing. Free-flowing. Fun, not like, okay, you say Johnny Bench here. Are you going to mention Lou Brock? So Like it don't
wanna... Yeah, but that said, I watch Inside the NBA. It is still scripted.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they got the moderator Jones, and he kicks it usually to Charles first.
To an extent.
Then it goes to Shaq. Then it goes to Kenny Smith.
I mean, we have a script. Yeah, we have a script for this show.
We have a rhythm, but still, there's a lot of free flowing. There's a lot of freedom.
Weren't just on Monday you were lamenting your career and saying you didn't go into TV and you should have, you didn't do enough.
That was Alex Cooper.
That was more like the YouTube stuff, like the more non-traditional. I feel like we should have maybe.
No, I think about these is right. It was like Alex Cooper and you.
Well, yeah, that's
the
non-traditional stuff. Yeah. No, not her TV, like just the non-traditional route where these guys have really. I used to mock YouTubers. YouTubers make $1 billion. YouTubers rule the world.
This show might have been the first ever show to podcast, and then you got nothing from it.
Nothing.
Zippy.
Because we didn't do original content. Yeah, it was just regurgitated. But it was still, it was great. Thank God, you know, CK, I give him credit. He was the one that was on it early. No, I have laments about our career, and I don't want to go back to this, but we probably should have done from a professional perspective, maybe take that more seriously, because then who knows where that would take you.
We did take it seriously.
Well, I take this job seriously, but I didn't take it TV that seriously.
It
wasn't my thing.
It wasn't our thing.
It wasn't my dream to be in TV.
I would say is the ESPN thing, we took it very seriously.
Yeah. I agree, but we could have said, you know,
You know what? We got a bad vibe on it.
Well, we also could have said, you know what? What you can do is most people, just like the same thing we did with WFAN, you just take the offer and you grow from there.
Yeah.
Like, you don't worry about the money. The money comes later. Most people with a brain, that's what they do.
But it could have failed miserably. And then.
Well, I think it would have failed. But then
didn't they want us to move to Orlando?
They wanted to move to
Orlando. That was just in the very early discussion.
There was a lot of different discussions.
They wanted us to move.
Let's be real.
We won that argument.
Yeah, Cakes was famously looking at condos in Orlando.
Right.
Yeah.
We had a meeting. We had a meeting where they were talking about set design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no,
in
it
New
was
York,
very serious.
And what happened was our agent left in the middle of the meeting.
I remember.
Yeah, I
he had an anniversary party, and I remember the executives. They said, did your agent just walk out? Like, yeah.
That's our current agent.
Yes, that is our current agent.
That's
Billy Ripken.
He was a TV guy.
Yeah, Ross was representing us for TV. Bob was doing our radio. But it was fine. It all works out great. But... my point is that I was always uncomfortable being in bed, frankly, with ESPN. There was an uptightness to it that I did not like. That's personally for me. So I can understand.
TV is more regimented.
TV is, all but in particular ESPN. I work with TV. I work with Monumental. I do TV. That's not my only TV I've ever done. And it's not as uptight.
When we're doing the shows from Monumental Studio, it's night and day from what ESPN would
like. It's different.
Is this true? Inside the NBA could be off the air for 2 whole months from opening week to Christmas Day?
Well, that's the point. Yes.
They're minimizing them. 2 months?
That's the early look.
Jeez.
My read is they're trying to make these guys fade into oblivion and make them go away and not have fan uproar. The only reason why they're keeping them is to keep the fans happy. It almost seems like.
And well, fans aren't going to be happy if they don't see Chuck and Shaq for 2 months.
They're going to kill them. They're going to kill them off or force them to quit, which is what people do. So, anyway.
All right. What else you got?
I don't know. Travis Kelce did a photo shoot here for GQ. Are we going to be buying this magazine, Valdez? Why should we care about this? They've got to, like, was he dressed like as a bear or something?
It's one of the most unusual and awkward and stupid photo shoots I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
I did see Travis admitted that his play has slipped, and he said partly because he took his eye off the football ball and was trying to be an entertainer. I don't know if that's going to change. I think that age and speed have a lot to do with it too.
Mm-hmm.
But
that's good.
Maybe he's regaining his focus, although his height show seems to be killing it.
Hey, in that one picture where he's wearing like those weird jeans and white t-shirt, doesn't he look like, I don't know if it's Billy or Stephen Baldwin? A little like with
and
that haircut,
jacked Billy Baldwin.
Yeah, like with that weird haircut.
Yeah, he's got a weird.
He's got like a Knight of the Roxbury haircut.
It's like an old Tommy Horsecamp college haircut.
Slick back. Let me see.
Yeah, it's
handling gators and snakes, and he's in the swamp wearing fur.
Right.
Very weird.
I don't know how you guys. Are you guys like you old sirs? Probably not. Valdez has an old soul. Are you a Hall and Oates guy at all? Your dad?
Oh, I love Hall and Oates.
I love Hall and Oates. I literally love Hall & Oates.
Oh, God. Most people do. I mean, they're great.
So they've kind of like hated each other. You know,
they've had issues for years.
Apparently, they resolved their legal issues. Now, it was through arbitration, and that's behind them. Their bitter business feud is behind them. Does that mean then that they could put their personal differences and maybe these guys could hit the road and maybe do a nostalgic little tour or something?
Maybe didn't Simon and Garfunkel get back together? Were we there for the Grammys? Or?
Certainly, I think we saw Simon.
I feel like maybe they performed together at the Grammys.
I think they did. Yeah, when we saw Monica Lewinsky.
One time we went to the Grammys.
Yeah. We did. We saw Monica Lewinsky. We bumped into Monica Lewinsky. I mean, it's a thing.
Isn't she hot now?
I think she has had a glow up.
Yeah.
A glow up and maybe I think she's hitting that Ozempic and is she, yeah, I mean, hey,
really,
whatever word, we could all use it. If Hall & Oates, if they said Hall & Oates was going to be at
Wolf Trap.
I'm all in. All in. Valdez, we'll go together. We'll bring our surfside coolers.
Yeah, we'll set out a picnic blanket on the lawn with our surfside cooler.
100%. I need Hall & Oates to be back.
Top song? Private Eyes?
No, this one. I mean, Out of Touch.
I don't know. I have so many. Kiss on my list. She's Gone. I don't know that many like stuff, but I know that, man. I mean, I just know a lot of Hall & Oates.
I thought I saw John Oates was coming to town.
I have no interest in him. He needs Daryl Hall.
He needs Daryl Hall.
He needs Daryl Hall.
Yeah.
I don't need to see Baba Booey playing the guitar.
She does look like him.
You're looking at the Wolf Trap train, I believe, is next week.
You know, Toto, Men at Work, and Christopher Cross are at Jiffy Lube tonight. So bitter I'm missing that.
And it's a great show. Did you finally watch the thing? The Yacht Rock doc?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
It's good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not incredible, but it's good. I have to say, again, I watched the Billy Joel. I love me some Billy Joel. It went too long. They could have tightened that up. They could have made that a lot better.
How long is it?
It was two episodes. It might have been like 3 or 4 hours. Maybe like 4 hours. And so I didn't even realize it went from the first episode to say it just went seamlessly into it, right? So I'm like, when does this thing end? It never ends. It just keeps going. You know, it went from the first episode into episode two. I didn't realize.
You can pay attention like that. There's usually on the bottom right, says next episode.
I'm watching it, and I'm also doing
just kept
stuff.
Right to it.
I'm also doing stuff, so I just missed that. And it just took forever. I had to watch it over 2 days.
My wife and daughter went to see the Jonas Brothers last night at Jiffy.
All right.
Loved them. Yeah. They wanted me to go. I said, no chance.
Yeah. I mean, they have hits.
All American Rejects open for them.
How far is that from your spot? It's not that far?
30 minutes.
It's kind of, yeah.
It's about 30. Some side roads you can take.
You have side roads?
Okay. There's some side roads.
Yeah, okay. Because I don't know the side roads.
Yeah.
I actually saw Jonas Brothers on TV, I want to say yesterday. Like one of my TVs, it automatically clicks to Samsung TV at first, which is annoying. Mm-hmm. It always has these weird old shows. But the other day, Who's the Boss was on. Mm-hmm. And Jonas Brothers were on, and they had, it wasn't All American Rejects, but it was one of those bands that we were very familiar with during our HFS days. Yeah. So maybe they were saying that they were influenced by them, and then they like, oh, and she stay on stage, and they did a song together. I think they did one of their songs.
Yeah.
So they must have a lot of influence from that kind of alternative rock, pop punk era.
Real quick, I know we got to go break. Boys to Men, that just went viral. I guess this clip, maybe it was old, but I saw it last night. They had the bass singer or whatever who stopped touring with them like 20 years ago because of like a degenerative back condition or whatever. And he like walks, he just can't tour with them. Mm-hmm. But so they've been touring three instead of four for like 20 years.
Yeah.
They brought him on stage for the first time in 20 years because he came to the concert. He's like, dude, I haven't sung in 20 years. They made him sing. Kind of boopy. They didn't have the old magic.
Oh, really?
They didn't have the old magic. I didn't think. Just because you add a fourth voice, you know, guy hadn't sung in 20 years. All of a sudden, they put him in there. And
they come out to MGM almost every year.
Dude, I love Boyz II Men. Love them. All right.
Would they be like one of your dream bookings in studio?
Totally. They come in every year. I want to get them in here.
We got to figure it out.
We had Biz Markie, RIP, but you know, before he passed, we got to get Boyz II Men.
We've been saying that for years.
I know. I got to get them. Got to get them.
Boyz II Men and Color Me Bad. All right, let's take a break. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Put up the Junkies poll of the day, brought to you by Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka and Surfside Lemonade and Vodka, the perfect addition to any gathering. Each can only 100 calories. Zero carbonation, that means easy sipping. You can find Surfside at your local bars and in convenient variety 8-packs at your local liquor stores. Must be 21, please drink responsibly. The poll of the day has to do with the Commanders and playing their first
starters.
Team players.
Yep. Do you want to see the starters at least for a couple series, yes or no?
Four options, actually.
Okay.
There's one series, one quarter, one half, and doesn't matter.
Okay.
You can vote at Junks Radio. What would you vote for?
Hold on.
I'd vote for one quarter.
What did you say, one series?
Actually, I'd vote for one half. What the heck?
I probably would vote for a half, because that would probably be three series.
You want to see your starters for a half?
Yeah, why not?
What if the other team's just got all UPS drivers?
Okay, okay. Well then maybe
you're not gaining anything.
I want to build a rhythm. I'm gonna go back to Tom Brady's 2018 preseason stats EB with the Patriots, where he had like now I've forgotten which year was which. But
one year he had 50,
like 45 passes, whatever it was.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want it to be over with. I get nothing.
You just want the regular season to start.
I get very little from other than I'm excited to talk about, you know, whatever little angles we can. But and I'm just ready for the regular season. I hate these. I just hate that the starters don't play meaningful.
We always say this. We clamor for the preseason. Then once the preseason gets here, we hate it.
Well, my only quibble would be is that I'm desperate for the season to start. Necessarily preseason. Preseason's a good. It's just a box you check. I mean, it just sucks. I don't know.
How jacked are you going to be?
I'll be more nervous than jacked.
Well, just excited.
I'm excited.
On September 7th.
But I'm telling you, I'll have anxiety probably for the first 3 or 4 weeks until we kind of set a tone and see if there's some level of consistency, or are we going to go back to sort of a different team every week? Like, you know what I mean? Is the defense going to be better like we think?
Mm-hmm.
Is the offense going to pick up where they left off, assuming Terry's there and everything? I have a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Hey, let me throw this out. So in the NFC East last year, Eagles won it at 14-3. Commanders are 12-5. Cowboys finished 7-10. And the Giants were an abysmal 3-14. Now, the year before that, Washington finished in dead last, going 4-13.
Mm-hmm.
Right? 4-13? Forget my
something
math.
Like
4-13. I saw Colin Cowherd say this, and I almost was buying into it. You know, I like to throw the rookies in as fast as possible. And Jackson Dart's performance raised a lot of eyebrows, right? I think that he was on the field for four possessions. They scored every one of them. He had some nice runs. Or at least one nice run, touchdown, that sort of thing.
Yeah, look good.
And especially if you look at one of the touchdowns, it was like one of those perfect balls downfield, just over a corner's arm, right into the receiver's arms. And he said, people think that the Giants are far off, but he pointed to, they've got Andrew Thomas at left tackle. They got Malik Nabers at wide receiver. They got Kayvon Thibodeau and now Abdul Carter. To go along with Brian Burns and Dexter Lawrence, his point was they're not that far off. And they have a really good coach. Now, some people would argue that, but he has a proven track record with Josh Allen when he was a coordinator and then early success with the Giants with Daniel Jones.
No, I think your point is well taken. It could be a much more difficult game than you sort of think, sort of on the face of it.
And could they be a team that turns it around,
sure,
like Washington? Because every year there's a team. You know, last 2 years it's been the Texans, and then last year it was the Commanders that came from being one of the dregs of the league, a cellar dweller, to all of a sudden being a playoff team. Now, both those teams drafted quarterbacks with the number two pick. Mm-hmm. C.J. Stroud, Jaden Daniels. Jackson Dart, not a number two pick. And they're in a different situation where they're likely, barring some complete script change, they're going to start Russell Wilson at quarterback.
Right.
But
for a while. And eventually.
You got Jackson Dart if he's impressing all the time.
Well, that's what
and Jackson Dart would have Malik Nabers.
Yeah, that's what I said the other day. I said, you're going to see Jackson Dart. It might not be in week two, week three. I think you're going to see him in the first 6 weeks.
I think you probably.
Unless Russell Wilson's just killing it and they're 4-2.
Yeah.
But I don't think anybody expects that.
You think Wilson's going to go in there and be terrible?
I think he'll be like he was last year.
Huh.
Uninspiring.
Yeah. I mean, you draft a kid in the first round, you want to see him. So unless Russell Wilson's not making mistakes and they're winning games, a lot of it because of the defense, you probably won't see Dart, but I think you're going to see him sooner than later. So they are an interesting story.
Yeah.
Because of what they added.
Because
Carter's going to be a beast mode.
Yeah, I saw four snaps. He had two pressures.
Well, he's just going to be legit. He's going to be Micah Parsons.
He's like, yes, he's very much.
He's going to be
Micah Parsons.
That's exactly what he's going to be. That's what he was like at Penn State, just like Micah.
It's annoying. I think that, you know. Hopefully, I don't know what's going to happen with this Connerly deal, but Logan Paulson got me fired up when he showed those two clips of him.
That he was good, you said. You know, he liked
making
them.
Some good plays that he said, like, you just can't coach. I mean, those are just like special elite things.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, hopefully with Tunsil and, I mean, look, Connerly will take his, he'll take his lumps as a rookie, but hopefully we can handle some of that stuff.
Just might be something to watch. Like, we, you know, I mean, the Giants games last year, first game, very, very close.
Mm-hmm.
Second game, it wasn't like they blew them out. The competition might be a little bit better in the NFC East than we expected.
I know.
Well, especially if Dak stays healthy. Because
I will be a little bit heartbroken if we lose to the Giants. I'm going to be honest with you. I'll be a little bit heartbroken.
You mean week one? Yeah.
Yeah. I'll be a little bit like, whew. I mean, I think it's one game. It means nothing. I remember the Giants lost their first two games that one year. It was 2008, yeah, whatever. They lost by like 80 points. And they won the Super Bowl.
Sure.
So, kind of an outlier. It doesn't mean anything, but it will.
But you don't want to lose the division game.
I don't want to lose the division game against the Giants in week one.
And that Giants 0-2 start winning the Super Bowl is an outlier because 90% of the teams that start off 0-2 don't make the playoffs. Even since they expanded it to 17 games.
Has that held up?
Yes.
Yeah.
But even as they've added a wild card team.
Well, I think Dallas is going to be better, assuming Dak is healthy, because when he's not there, you know, you got to go to Joe Milton or whoever else they got. But they added George Pickens. I think they're going to be better. I think the Giants are going to be better as well.
Yeah, I think I need to get Terry back out there, and I need to get some positive reports from the offense, because I'm looking at the schedule, and I'm just looking at it like a big scaredy cat right now.
Here's what the Giants don't have, though, Jason, and I just read a report about, you know, we do this, all the beat reporters in every city that's covering team, they do this, that they'll
running game
raise the panic meter every day. But it was something about their offensive line. Now, I mentioned Andrew Thomas at left tackle. He's a premier, but maybe they don't have a good offensive line. And I do think, you know, the running back's very unproven. Is it Tracy?
Yeah, Tracy. But they drafted Scadabo, so we'll see how
soon. Is he playing the first preseason game?
I didn't see. I thought he had an injury.
He has a hamstring injury.
Yeah. Gotcha.
So you guys know that.
I thought they were trying to address the offensive line issues for the last couple of years. So it's got to be better than it was 2 years ago.
Yeah, I'm just telling you a headline that I saw, and then I read the article. It just said that they were struggling. But
you guys know that Dylan Lauby is a very, very, very close friend with my son's friends. And with Vinny and Joe and those guys, their families. And I think we had Dylan on our show, right? Also did it on my Tales from the Foxy Gator. We had Dylan on. And I've been following Dylan. And he's with the Raiders last year. Marginal impact, but he was on the regular season roster all season.
Oh, okay? He was?
Yes.
Okay.
And so and this year, though, with Pete Carroll there, and they added to the running back room, Pete Carroll admitted to people that he had no idea who Dylan Lauby was. No idea.
Mm-hmm.
And I said before camp started, he's going to have a hard time here. He's a great kid. He's a super hard worker, but you know, they've added all these names. He's been kind of the talk of camp. Carroll's kind of fallen in love with him because of the effort, because of the practice, you know, just the way he handles himself. And he's not like going to be some star or anything for them, but, I'm rooting like crazy for him to make that 53. And
he's
a great kid, and they're writing articles about him. And he talks about, I'm not here for the money. I'm just here because I love to play, and I want to prove that I can play at this level.
Remind me how your son and their friends know him.
So he grew up. He was a star on all these kids that Stevie played with at Marist when those kids all grew up on their club lacrosse team. He was a star. But he also was a star football player.
Right.
Okay. He was like the fastest kid in lacrosse.
But he didn't go to Marist.
No, because I think he was getting looks from Notre Dame for lacrosse, right. But he wanted to play football. So he ended up going to like
New Hampshire
or something with no football pedigree really, but it was like the only Division I school that, because he's small.
Because he could
play
both.
It's wild. No, just he played football.
Oh, he didn't play lacrosse.
No, okay. He just dedicated himself. He wanted to play. Football was his first love. He was just a great athlete and would out-athlete people on the lacrosse field.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just a great
kid.
Wow,
that's crazy that he could have gone to Notre Dame to play lax, and he decided to go to New Hampshire to play football.
Correct. He wanted to play football. That was his whole thing. And what's new to me, and you guys might know this better than I did, and I'm always flummoxed because, like Long Island actually doesn't have a tradition of, like, great football players. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot of small schools, and they're just, like, average, like, football players.
Right.
So for him to maybe make the Raiders, it's a big deal.
It's a lacrosse area.
And yeah, it's very well known for lacrosse and other things, but not football.
Five carries for 34 yards in the first preseason game.
Well, he's doing everything. His way to make it is special teams, mm-hmm. right?
He had a catch, too.
He had a catch. I think he returned a kick. So he's doing a little of everything, but he's raising eyebrows. Look,
they drafted Genty.
Yeah. He's not going to be their starting tailback.
No, I understand.
He's going to be like the 53rd teams. Guy, but, I'm rooting for him. We've had him on the show. It's a interest story.
If he makes it again, we'll get him back on.
Yeah, for sure.
That'd be awesome.
For sure. It's I think it's fun for people to keep an eye on. I know I certainly am.
1-800-636-1067 is the number.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Go anywhere.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Open Road Distilling Company. It's now available at Virginia ABC stores, exclusively in Northern Virginia, although they have expanded down to Richmond and a few stores down there. So if you're listening, you were looking for some Open Road, maybe the bold spice of Eagle Eye Rye, maybe the smooth depth of Independence Bourbon, the rich ready-to-pour maple Old Fashioned. It's whiskey done right. For the full experience here, visit them in the Reston Town Center. It's a great spot. And I believe that's where the Boys Behind the Glass will be this weekend.
Hmm.
I think they're going to hit Open Road.
Nice. And then maybe they'll bring back some gear for the boys. Right? Or bottles or something? Like, what has it been? Cakes been clamoring?
Cakes wants bottles. Yeah.
I think bottles.
I don't think that's a problem.
We just like free stuff.
Of course.
Yeah.
So we have
they got nice gear, too.
We've got two TVs on here, and one of them's running like a repeat from yesterday talking about Shedeur Sanders. I just went on thespun.com, and it had the ratings. I mean, over 2 million people watched his preseason game, which is like really high because Shedeur was playing, which, some teams may have stayed away from him because imagine – if you're a fan of the Cleveland Browns and you're going to the games, they're not clamoring for Dylan Gabriel or Kenny Pickett.
They're in one person in the country right. pulling for Dylan Gabriel.
Right, or Kenny Pickett.
Maybe a Kenny Pickett fan or two, but nobody for Dylan Gabriel.
That's just not true. That's not true. There's a lot of, I follow the
Oregon
Browns.
Folks, they're all...
Well, no, yeah, and the Browns, there's a lot of people who are hyped up on Dylan
Gabriel.
Yeah,
I mean, he's young.
He might get first shot.
Fans don't care. JP's talking as a fan from out of town. He doesn't care if the Browns win or lose.
Yeah, JP likes a story.
He likes a story. I mean,
right.
Is anybody rooting for Sam Hartman here because he was the sexy Notre Dame quarterback? No. Doesn't matter.
They want the best quarterback.
I think, look. The fans want to win, number one.
Of course.
That's always. So Joe Flacco is going to start in week one, barring some sort of miracle. And if he wins games, the fans are going to be happy and they won't be clamoring.
I'm willing to
What's
make.
Probably okay. going to happen, though, yeah. is they're going to stink. And Kevin Stefanski is going to keep getting these questions. And they came out with a depth chart, I think, unnecessarily.
Yeah.
They have Shador number four.
Yeah. Well, maybe what they might have to do is that they might have to start him prematurely and just bury him.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, get him killed.
Well, then they get accused of setting him up to fail.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yes.
They're all set up to fail if
they don't like it.
They're all set
but
up to
I'm
fail in Cleveland.
I'm willing to bet that when it's all said and done, that Sanders has a better career than Dylan Gabriel. It could be two bums.
You might be right.
I'm almost willing to bet that.
If he plays a game, I'll watch every second of it.
Right. There's something intriguing about the kid.
And
I have no intrigue about Dylan Gabriel. He got nothing from
me. I mean, this story says 2.2 million people watched the preseason game against the Browns. Now, that speaks to the NFL in general. I don't know what the other preseason games do, but this article is spinning it like it was this great amount
of people watching the preseason game. I think the Hall of Fame game got like 6.2 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, they did like the best numbers in like 5 years or something. We did that story.
People love it.
I will say this.
They freaking love it.
I'm going to get murdered for this again, too, and Lou will write an article about it, and Mar will kill me. I really do root for those Sanders kids. I really do.
I know you do.
Even Shiloh.
Even Shiloh. They do strike me as they're a little odd. Like, if you ever see them in their interactions, there's an oddness to them. Like, but I find them very likable. Very likable. Like when Shiloh's giving the jersey to his mom and they ask him, he's like, yeah, Deion, dad, he don't want that. He's like, you know, he don't want my, I mean, he even said, my dad's a Hall of Famer. You know, my dad's a Hall of Famer, right? You think he wants my preseason jersey? Like, it was really kind of funny.
But Dylan Gabriel is likable.
I don't know from him. So
right, all you're caught up in is the last name.
I agree with your premise.
I don't know anything about him. He means nothing to me.
I'm sure
his friends like him, and I'm sure he's a great person.
But if he's the better quarterback, Browns fans want to see him.
But I'm betting that Shador is going to ultimately be better than that kid. I'm just betting.
You might be right. I mean, in terms of backups,
I'll say I read about Gabriel.
Yeah.
And you read about who knows what this really means. But he's one of those first guys in, last guys out guys.
Mm-hmm. Now, well, I kind of feel like Shador might be, too.
He might be.
I feel like his work ethic, people sleep on it. They just attack him because he's from well-to-do, and, you know, he gets to have, like, cars delivered to his house because it's...
And he had the rap song. Look, right. Even the interaction that he had with that reporter... I don't know if you
saw it.
Tony Grossi.
Yeah, I saw it. I thought it was charming.
Grossi,
charming. But you know what Grossi said?
A radio guy. I figure if I go over there, B-Rob will tackle me and punch me in the face.
But do you know why there was video?
I have no idea. Because he told them to watch.
Grossi said Shador was fine. He has no problem with it. And he actually preferred that Shador didn't do it on the podium.
Uh-huh.
That he kind of did it separate, not on the podium, because he said he's had previous players or coaches
call him out on the podium,
and it's uneven.
It yeah,
he said this was more conversational because Shador's brother was filming it.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost a setup.
Okay, maybe it's all fake. It's possible. What I've seen so far, every time I've seen these kids, they've been like fairly charming. I'm not buying the hate.
I kind of like the storyline of him balling out and sticking it to the league. But I do think the setup to fail thing could happen because Stefanski, it seems like a lot of these football people, the reason he slid to the fifth round is they just don't want to deal with it, right?
Right.
And Stefanski looks annoyed by the whole thing. He's having to go through... In the press conference, he's like, well, Shador's like, he's got all his quarterbacks are hurt.
Yeah.
Every one of them.
Well, you can't list Shador ahead of the third rounder yet. It's just unfair. Like, I actually agree with it.
Yeah, but you got to play him.
You know, the kid, as far as I know, hasn't played any meaningful action anywhere.
You got to play him.
Yeah. So,
you got to see how he does.
I'm fine. Who cares where he's at right now? Who cares? You know, the point, it'll all come to a head eventually when he gets an opportunity, right? And I don't know when that'll be.
I'll say that the two touchdowns that he threw were impressive. The first touchdown to the left, it was kind of in between two defenders, but it was one of what they call them the layered throws.
Yes.
And then the second one coming off a blitz, just comfortably moved in the pocket.
I totally
threw a strike.
Agree. His poise is what impressed me. Not arm strength, not anything like that. Obviously, everybody knows he's not like a speed demon like his dad, nothing like that. But his poise, just there's something there. I don't know. But I do think
they play the Eagles.
They're a little bit
now
odd
I'm rooting
on
for,
Saturday.
Now I'm rooting for Dylan Gabriel.
You can root for him all you want, and I'm sure he's a great person.
I don't know if he's going to be their starter.
I have
ever.
No file on him.
Now I'm rooting for him.
I don't care about him. I'm a Shador guy.
I can tell.
And I actually say I'm a Flacco guy because I root for all old guys. I don't care who they are. All old guys I will root for.
Is Flacco older than Aaron Rodgers? I saw a chart
might be
of similar. All the starting quarterbacks.
I think Aaron's older. I think Aaron's might be the oldest guy.
But most of the quarterbacks 40, in the league kind of were in that sweet spot of like 26 to 30.
Flacco is 40, born in January.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So is Rodgers 41?
This is wild, though. I saw an interviewer playing a game with Flacco, and it was basically, was this guy in the league? Did you play in the league at the same time as this guy?
Did he know?
Yeah, he nailed most of them.
Yeah.
He was like, yeah, that was 2004 or whatever year.
Those guys' ability to earmark the years they did certain things is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just incredible to me. It's like Valdez can remember every golf hole they ever played. He kind of can. It's bizarre.
Like ever? Or the latest round?
He's got a pretty good, if you ask him, he's not going to be 100%, but he's going to be right around it.
Like, you can remember when I played at Blue Mash, this is what I did on 14.
Yeah, the 14, he goes, oh, that's the hole around the water.
Number one is the split fairway, par four up the hill.
Yeah, he remembers.
Number two is the straight hill downhill, par four.
Long.
Yeah, he remembers.
All right, we got to get out of here for Bish.
Rain Man.
EBM, JP. B. Mitch Finley up next here on The Fan.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.